I'm Bob Franklin. My topic today is BAM. It's going to be an interesting conversation because I have one of the participants in BAM, and he will tell us what exactly BAM is in a minute. But let me give you a statistic that that I think is very important that our listeners know. Homelessness is a problem in communities across America. Here in California, a group of doctors and nurses have created their own company, BAM, that supports urgent medical needs of many homeless populations in Northern California, specifically the San Francisco Tenderloin District. Here to speak with us to tell us more about this interesting topic is Dr. Van Noort. Thank you, doctor, for sharing your thoughts and being a guest today.
Thank you. I really appreciate the opportunity and getting a chance to share more about BAM.
Well, first of all, tell us what BAM stands for.
Yeah. So BAM is an acronym for Bay Area Medical Missions. And this is a group of volunteer folks, many of whom are medical, but not everybody, started, I would say, probably with about maybe 80 or 90 of us who, you know, were connected either through social networks or through places of worship, with a desire to serve. And out of that, we've been steadily growing. That's actually part of the story of what's coming up on November 9th and getting a chance to share about that. But it's really, as you mentioned, both a local focus as well as an international focus of providing folks opportunities to serve.
Well, let's personalize this a bit and tell us a bit about yourself, your area of specialization, and what attracted you to serving beyond your capacity as a medical practitioner.
Well, I'm Michael Van Noord, and I am a general surgeon with Kaiser. Primary medical center I work out of is in Vallejo. And I am going on my 20th year with Kaiser, came in 2005. And how I got involved, I would say looking for opportunities to serve, especially in originally international contexts, was always something I wanted, something I felt drawn to, in some ways part of why I became a doctor. And starting a practice 2005, incredibly busy. I was still trying to learn how to have boundaries and not work, you know, 60, 80 hours a week. And by about 2007, I was pretty crispy. I had really worked a lot and had made time for some extended time off, finally, to my wife's extreme pleasure. She was watching me burn out. And it was actually my wife, her name is Raquel, who said, "Hey, you know, you've always wanted to do medical work, you know, overseas or serve people. Why don't you look for that?" And it was at that time that my office mate, who was also interested in the same things, mentioned a team that was going to Ethiopia through, at the time, Menlo Park Presbyterian Church. And would I be interested? And I said yes, didn't know what I was getting into. And my life has not been the same since. It was an amazing experience. And that was really, in a large way, how BAM, not just through me, but through several other folks, got its start.
I'm kind of interested in what was that? And I don't know if it happened in Ethiopia. I did some research in Ethiopia, and it changed my life in terms of wanting to come back and tell stories about brave people who are doing incredible things, incredible work in that country. In particular, I produced a documentary film on the late Mickey Leland, who in his relief mission to Ethiopia died in a plane crash with himself and other Ethiopians and Americans going to that country. So I went there and I was just touched by the beauty of the country, the beautiful people. And I just came back and I felt I needed to do something special. And I was just wondering how and what impacted you when you went there, if anything.
Yeah, what a great question. I think it changed me because there, as you mentioned, the people are just amazing and so resourceful and incredibly sharp, incredibly smart, and they do so much with what we would consider so little. Yet, in so many ways, their happiness was a lot more than we, I would dare say, you know, experience on a daily basis. And I think so much of it was because they were plugged in with each other. There was deep community and just, you know, less busy, less hurried lives. One of the things that captured that, we had taken a medical team to Ethiopia. This is maybe 8 years ago, 9 years ago. Some of the team members had forgotten to leave their hotel keys. We were staying at a guest house and they only had one key for each room. And, oh, please don't leave with the keys. You know, we have to get new locks if you do. And a couple of the team members had left with their keys and we're at the airport and I realized this and we want to return these keys. And we had a driver come and, you know, our plane is coming and we're trying to go backwards upstream, get out of the airport so we can hand over these keys. And we're revved up. We're very intense. And we meet the driver and he comes to us. His name is Hailu. And Hailu just, you know, we are so intense. And he just goes, "Hello, how are you? How is your family?" And it was just this calm, relational, like, yeah, we have things to do, but it's more important to connect. And that has been the case every single time. And it is so instructive that our lives here, my life, it's over busy. And sometimes I probably focus on the wrong things. And there, it's more straightforward. It's relational. It's not perfect. You know, there's a lot of issues. But boy, I come back changed. I come back centered, I think, from getting a chance to serve.
Well, and you mentioned community, and I want to have you share with our audience the importance of community service, giving back to the community as you and your colleagues are doing with an NBAM.
Mm. Yeah, you know, I think there's really two layers to it that I think about. One is internally. When we serve, when we get a chance to give, I think it's clarifying. I think that we feel encouraged and maybe in some ways empowered when we live into our gifting, whatever skills, gifts, talents we have to offer, and we get outside of ourselves, and we turn our best intentions towards another person. I think that brings life. I think it brings encouragement. I think it brings joy. And I think that that's reinforcing. And it's actually something that a lot of times we invite other people to experience with us. And so there's this sort of momentum that comes. I think it helps us clarify priorities and you know, things that are most important, maybe things that are maybe less important or what we thought were important, maybe aren't. And then I think there's an external level to it where it's good to help others. It's good to serve. It's good to identify and try to meet needs, especially you can involve other folks when you can get momentum and affect change. You know, this isn't necessarily big political policy, you know, legislation kind of changes. This is really just being with someone, maybe meeting a medical or a social need. And that person was seen, that person was helped, and I think that's good. So I think those are the two ways I think about it. It's probably a lot more to it.
Let's talk about the November 9th event. Mm. What's it all about? How did it come to fruition? What's the goals? What do you and the group hope to accomplish? And why is it important for our listeners to support and be a part of?
Yeah. Well, on November 9, it's a Saturday night coming up at Five Points in downtown San Jose. It's at 169 West Santa Clara Street. Doors are going to open at 6. We'll be finishing up by about 9. those are some of the just logistics of it. But really what this is an opportunity for us to hopefully raise more awareness about BAM and things that we're involved in. It is really been the brainchild of Rochelle Roberts, who is one of the folks who came on some of our BAM trips to Ethiopia in the last 6 or 7 years. And Rochelle, I think, was just like me in that place where life was changed and saw ways to help. She's an amazing singer. And so she and Anston Neal are going to be sort of opening with some music for us. And then the headliner is going to be Tebow Thibault. It's going to be an evening of music and hopefully great conversation. And the real reason for doing it is, as I mentioned, raising awareness for BAM, but also to help us raise support. We have grown. You know, initially started with about 80 or 90 volunteer folks, and we're still entirely volunteer run. We organize both international teams as well as local teams, as you mentioned, to the Tenderloin as well as into Fairfield. We're hoping soon Guatemala. And it takes a lot to just a lot of time and support to organize these teams and provide these opportunities. And so where we are hoping as an organization is eventually to raise enough that we could actually hire a director to take on some of the roles of organizing teams. Over the last, since BAM was founded or you know, operational, and that was back in the early 2000s, maybe 2008, basically each team has, there's been a volunteer leader and someone who, you know, steps up to publish, you know, publicize, to raise up the team, to do team building, help organize materials and the logistics. And it's just a big job. And we've sort of rotated through it. And we think that we're now at the point where it would be great to have somebody more full time. And so November 9 is what we are hoping will be a big step forward in being able to raise funds for that. We're also planning on sharing what is raised with one of our partner organizations. This, you know, I've mentioned Ethiopia a few times. There's a group in Ethiopia named Project Mercy. And this, I think when folks get a chance to look at Project Mercy, you can do that at www.projectmercy.org. It's an incredibly holistic organization that cares for a rural Ethiopian community with healthcare, with education, with nutrition, with infrastructure, with economic empowerment. Kind of covers all the bases. And this has been our steady partner in Ethiopia for over a decade now. And we're continuing to, you know, deepen that relationship. And so part of what is raised on the 9th will also go to support Project Mercy.
Could you give the email address again for Project Mercy?
Yeah, sorry, I went through it really fast. It is www, and then all one word, projectmercy.org.
Thank you for that.
Yeah.
I know you mentioned that you are a surgeon by profession. What are some of the other doctors' professions that are part of BAM?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that has been one of the most amazing things is the variety of folks who come. And I would say maybe half of BAM teams are medical. Lots of doctors, lots of nurses, but then just a lot of folks who aren't necessarily medical, but just want to help, want to be on a team. And so, you know, if there's someone out there who's interested in learning more, but, oh, I'm not medical, that's okay. We need folks of all disciplines, all skills, all talents. It's mostly just about service and wanting to serve. In terms of the specialties that have been involved, there's been a lot of folks who are in primary care, so family practice, internal medicine. There's tremendous need for OBGYNs. We've also had urologists, cardiologists, anesthesiologists, and then general surgeons, and then labor and delivery nurses, operating room nurses, folks who are what we call scrub techs, the folks who are in the operating room handing instruments to the surgeons, and then pediatric nurses, school nurses. We've also had music teachers come, and part of the Project Mercy organization, they have probably about 2,000 students between kindergarten and 12th grade. And we've had music teachers come teach music classes. We've had English teachers come and help tutor the faculty of the schools. One of the things for Ethiopian students is they're expected to learn English by the time that they're 18. And so having educators come and be able to teach the teachers more about English has tremendous benefit. So these are, you know, the ways that BAM tries to serve is primarily medical, but also has these other dimensions, which have only added tremendous color and flavor, I think, to each team.
Why should the public care about the cause your group is raising awareness for?
Yeah, well, I think that it's not necessarily that BAM is out there to change the world and everybody should get on board with BAM. Really, our purpose is more that, and I think it goes back to these earlier trips and teams that would go through Menlo Park Presbyterian Church. Now it's called Menlo Church. One of the things that was really interesting, and we've also found this with our BAM teams, is that there was never a lack of people interested in going. In fact, oftentimes the team would almost be too big, and you'd have to say, okay, maybe next team, you know, because, you know, it's just unrealistic to take a team of 40 people when you need 20. And really the deeper impact of that was that I think for a lot of people, and again, they're not primarily medical or exclusively medical. A lot of them are, but not exclusively. There is a desire, something people understand about serving. And so I think an organization like BAM, our purpose is to provide opportunities for people to serve. There's in a way of thinking of it, you know, there's this need that's out there. I think it's human. I think people enjoy helping. I think, you know, in a very helping centric way. It's not political. We don't have an agenda. It is really organizing and trying to help people find a way to serve. And initially it was internationally. And that, you know, that was always an interesting question. You know, why should we care much about Ethiopia? You know, we've got enough problems of our own. And that's true, although it's just good to serve. And so, you know, heading out to Ethiopia where we had relationships, where it was an amazing experience and people would come back changed, you know, that was good. We also knew early on, and we'd talk about it on every plane ride home, you know, there's so much need close to home, you know, obviously in the Tenderloin, but there are homeless folks in Fairfield, California, that, you know, there's homeless folks and folks who are in need on the peninsula. And what can we do about that? And so I think out of that and being able to provide more opportunities, I would hope people would look at that and say, yeah, I have something to give. And if there's someone who can sort of help me find those opportunities, you know, I think that's a great reason for folks to care, to want to maybe know more. We'd love it for folks to get involved, you know, and I think it, in a way, you know, earlier in our conversation, we were talking about community and I think it meets a need to help people sort of get outside of themselves and serve in ways. And you know, the folks that are interested in that, or maybe just interested in learning more, I would hope they would be interested in what we're doing.
Well, it feels good to serve. It feels good to give back to the community in whatever way you can, because it's really giving back and growing and strengthening the community, where it's, whether it's here on in the Bay Area or around the country, around the world. And I'm curious, as a medical professional, discuss some of the medical issues that result when men, women, and children are victims of chronic homelessness. We know back many years ago, there was a famine in Ethiopia, and America sent relief supplies and efforts to save thousands upon thousands of lives there. As a medical professional, when dealing with chronic homelessness among men, women, and the most vulnerable population, children, what are some of those issues that result that you've experienced or treated?
Yeah, great question. So when we are, let's say, taking a team to the Tenderloin, we typically are partnering with a local organization. So in the Tenderloin, we're partnering with San Francisco City Impact. And they also have a school that is run through City Impact, and that's called San Francisco City Academy. And so the teams that we send, oftentimes we will have a medical clinic that we'll work at. And in that clinic, we will see all the sort of expected chronic conditions that we have, only magnified because of the situation, you know, being homeless, not having shelter. And so, you know, diabetes runs rampant, high blood pressure, chronic wounds. You can have, you know, pneumonias, nutritional issues, you know, not being able to afford or find, you know, great sources of nutrition. Substance use is prevalent. And so, you know, those are all the sort of, I don't want to say straightforward, but the more expected medical conditions. But there are deeper issues that we face, and in some ways, I think, contribute to those chronic medical issues, you know, things like, you know, mental illness, you know, maybe doesn't have a diagnosis yet, or they don't have, you know, good treatment plans yet. Loneliness, depression, PTSD. We've focused a lot on trying to develop more of a trauma-informed approach to the folks that we care for. You know, sometimes it's not so much that we're going to fix their diabetes or manage their high blood pressure. We don't have regular enough clinics to do that sort of, you know, ongoing care. But sometimes just meeting them, looking them in the eye, holding their hand, connecting, answering some questions, finding out about their life. A lot of folks are so lonely. You know, they want to talk. They want to share. It's healing just to be able to provide them an ear. And then I think that those are, you know, again, can circle back, you know, whether the adverse childhood events, traumas, impact their health. There are a surprising number of clinics that are in, you know, again, say the Tenderloin. There are resources in the community. And sometimes a big role that we can do is to help them connect. We know where the clinics are. We know what those clinics specialize in. And sometimes, and oftentimes the folks that we take care of also know this, but walking them down there, or, you know, helping them find a shelter for the night, you know, things that are maybe not necessarily directly medical, but in that vein of helping, serving, those are the things that we see, and those are the things that we really try to help with.
Well, as we run toward the end, give our audience again the date and the time and the location for the event that BAM will be sponsoring and be a part of.
All right, I will. If I also could, we do have a website if people are interested, and that is at www.bayareamedicalmissions.org. And this event is going to be on November 9th. It's upcoming Saturday night, and it's going to be at Five Points in downtown San Jose. And I am trying to find the address right now. I think it's 169 West Santa Clara Street. And it's going to start at 6 p.m. And that's when doors will open. It'll finish up about 9. And it's going to be some great music, some great singing. I'll even say a few words.
Well, you teased up my last segment, a musical segue of Dr. Rochelle Roberts. She's performing the tune Sentimental Mood. But I want to thank my guest, Dr. Michael Van Noord, who's a surgeon. It's been so enlightening, and I hope we'll get a chance to follow up with another interview in a not-too-distant future, Doctor.
That'd be so great. I really appreciate this time, and thank you to all your listeners, and especially to you for providing this opportunity.
Petals seem to fall, it's all like a dream to call you mine. My heart's a lighter thing since you made this night a thing divine. In a sentimental mood, I never dreamt that you'd be loving sentimental me.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.